Started recording.
Okay. Alrighty, so now this is Economic Conundrum. And how many of you watched the video that I sent to you? Some of you had it from last year.
What?
I emailed it to you.
What? Oh, I didn't check my email.
You didn't check. Oh, check email.
User in your channel started recording.
Okay, so I really don't check my email.
What was the video that I said that I would send to you after class that I was trying to find while I was in class? What's the name of it? Inside Job. All right. So I will get that link and put it here in the text chat. And Farasha, thank you for, and Ali, thank you for sending me your stuff. I will show you how to upload it. I'll upload it and then show you how to. And let me find. Boom, boom, boom. Doo-doo. Boom, 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 boom. All right, here are the exact words from the email. Link to the movie you're required to watch, PC or Mac. And this one is a bit smaller if you're on a PC. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful to hear. Farasha has watched it. Jabari, did you watch it again?
No.
You said no?
Yes, no.
You're not, I'm not, let me change my speakers here to my headphones. Would you repeat that, please, sir?
No.
Okay. All right, Nadir, did you? Yes, that's the whole thing. You didn't get my email either?
I did.
Why you didn't watch it? I asked you a question.
Well, because I was trying to finish other stuff that I had to do.
So Farasha watched it. Ali, did you watch it?
User in your channel timed out.
So Kadira, Nadir, Jabari did. Jabari, did you get my email?
I got it.
And why'd you decide not to watch it?
I was working on other stuff too.
You don't have permission to do that anymore. If I assigned you something and you want some more time because you have other stuff, you have to call me. Contact me and get it. Otherwise, okay. I'll start recording, you know, that you just didn't do it. And it'll bring down your overall average. Okay? You cannot do that on your own. Okay? You have to talk to me, and I'm reasonable. At the same time, when I expect for you to watch it and do take the notes so we can come back to class and build on it, then it sets things off. So do you understand, Nadir and Jabari?
I understand, yes.
All right. So I didn't get any call from you. I didn't get anything from you. So I don't know when you say you had other things to do. Other things to do is making more music. Other things to do can be anything. And if I need to talk to your parents, I will talk to your parents and say if they, there are other things, then they may have to make some shifts in some other things. Or you take another course. I want you to know I don't like it. And I don't like starting off the year like this. Jabbar, I had enough of that last year. I gave you plenty of room because you were, it was your first semester. Go. The only people I'm going to talk to are the folks who watched it. Everybody else, go and watch it. And the instructions are for you to take notes every 10 minutes. Now, this will be a review for you, Nadir and Jabari. And the reason I signed it
user
again is because
is
there
recording.
Was much that you did not get last year. That after our talking the first this first week, these first couple of classes, I'd hope that you would have a deeper understanding. The goal that I told you last year, you're going to understand everything that's in that video. It's not a movie. For us, it's taking a one point for study. It's not the only point. Ja, did you get my email? Did you watch the video and take notes? Farasha, the beeping is because you have your microphone muted. And it's set to remind you that there's talking going on while the microphone is muted, which is why it's trying to get you to go to a change. And I very well may be able to do that. Ja, would you answer my question, please, sir? Did you download and watch the movie Inside Job and take notes every 10 minutes?
Every 10 minutes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I hear you.
I did get your email, however, I did not start the video. I'm waiting on my computer so that I can actually download it, and then it'll be good. I should be able to actually do it today at lunch, though.
Okay. For the first 30 minutes of this class, Kadira, Nadir, Jabari, watch the video. Take notes every 10 minutes. Come back after 30 minutes. Any word that's mentioned that you don't know goes in your vocabulary. Any concept that's interesting, bring back your notes and your questions. Do it now. Ja, since you can't do it, you can stay here.
User left your channel.
Goodbye, Jabbar.
User left your channel. User left your channel.
Okay. For Russia and Ali, let's start with you. Let's start with your notes from the video, your questions, your thoughts. The video is Inside Job.
Okay, one of my questions are, after the banks pay the fine, what happens? Do they just get released from jail, or are there still consequences?
Okay, yeah, hold on just a second. I gotta reschedule this appointment.
Microphone muted. Microphone activated.
Farasha and Ja, I'll be right with you. Type in any other questions. I like that question, Farasha.
Microphone muted.
Bob Odessa said type any other questions you have. Said he'd be right back.
Microphone activated.
All right, I'm back. Thank you all. We're looking at to have some new platforms, educational platforms, in addition to TeamSpeak. Actually, I'm trying to replace any meeting, and so we're needing to schedule a demo. I apologize for that. Thank you for continuing to put your questions. Ja, if you have any questions from last class, put those there as well. And some of the things that we're talking about, just understand them as best you can, and it'll give you a preview for the meeting. And we're going to connect what we talked about last time to what your general questions are here. So I have Allie, are you back?
Yes.
Okay. You asked when there's a settlement, what happens after they pay the banks pay the money?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first, all of it is not in money, which they don't tell people. Some of it is actually in other in-kind and other kinds of things. And that's it. It's over. It's like if I stole everything in your house and ran away, and a year later, 2 years later, I was caught, and you were trying to prosecute me and sue me, and everything in your house was worth $1 million. And I said, well, you know, it's going to take you longer to prosecute me and whatever. I'll, you know, pay you $100,000 and we'll settle for $100,000. Or let's say you're going to sue me for $10 million. And I said, well, I'll settle for $1 million. Whatever it is, I'm going to pay you a money, the amount that you agree to. In this case, it's not, they're not, it wasn't the public that they was agreeing to, though. They weren't negotiating with the public. They were negotiating with somebody who was supposed to be representing on behalf of the public, and that's the attorney general. That's Eric Holder, a black man, okay, smart and alienated from his people in service of the banks and white people. So he made sure that he misrepresented us and accepted small amounts that sounded large to the public when you put it in the newspaper, and it's small compared to the amount of money that's being made and had been made. And so once the settlement is made, they keep on going business as usual. Nobody goes to jail, no criminal record, anything. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
All right.
Do the taxes come off of these settlements too?
What do you mean taxes come off? What do you mean?
Well, you know how like when you win the lottery, some of it goes to taxes? Does the same thing happen with settlements?
Well, it's not some of it goes to. You have to pay taxes. So that's what I'm trying to get to. It's like magic. Somebody pays taxes. So in the case of a settlement, your question is, who are you asking to pay taxes?
Yes.
Who gets the money? So who got the money with bank settlements? Who got the money?
I'm assuming the people that were wronged or the courts.
Well, if it's the courts, then do the courts pay taxes?
I don't know.
No, they don't. Okay. And the courts, you would think it would be in the interest of the people, and they were supposed to be, well, okay, we're going to provide, in some cases, you could apply, and you got $200 or $2,000. And yes, any money you got, you had to pay taxes on it. Any Uncle Sam, I mean, the IRS, any money that comes to you, okay?
Okay. And
right, so good question, yes?
When the banks like Goldman and Sachs, when they give out these large $1 million bonuses, some of that goes to taxes too, right? Or is that tax?
No, I don't want you to ever say it goes to taxes. Please, that's going to confuse you and everything. What you mean okay. It goes to taxes?
They have to pay taxes on that
they?
Too.
Who is it they?
The Goldman Sachs employees.
Okay, very good. So if I'm a Goldman Sachs employee and I'm given a bonus, do I have to pay taxes on that bonus?
That's the question, yes.
All right. Yes, I have to pay taxes on that bonus. Now, how much tax I have to pay depends upon the tax professional that I have. Because Goldman Sachs itself only pays about 12%, while you and your family pay 33%. That is 33 cents out of every dollar goes to pay taxes. Do y'all know that? So when you get a job and you are making $100,000 a year, $33,000 of that is going for government services. Now that wouldn't be so bad if the government was serving you. Now, the reason we have tax professionals is to use the loopholes that the IRS has put in place. The loopholes are put in place particularly for the rich. And if you have a tax preparer who knows and knows how to help you structure it, you can reduce your tax liability. All right, that is reduce that 33%. Companies like Walmart and companies like that typically pay 10%, 12%, okay, as opposed to 33%. So a dime, roughly a dime on the dollar as opposed to 30 cents on the dollar.
Got it.
Okay. Now write that down. I want you to understand, y'all. I want you to what we're talking about here is the kind of preparation you need to function well in society that folks don't teach you in high school or college many times. Okay? And so you get your first job and you're like, wow, they took out a lot of taxes. And you have no idea what that's about. Now, the idea of taxes is not a bad idea. Now, I don't mind it if, in fact, if the money goes to serve me. All right, Parasha, I want you to download this program called Team Viewer. I'm going to put the link in the text chat. And it'll allow me to come in and set you up right quick. Download and install TeamViewer. And when you do that, it'll give you an ID. And then you'll give me that ID. Everybody has to do it, has to install it. Allie, do you have yours still installed?
No.
Okay. You don't have to do it now. But you Jai have to install it, and during school time keep it running. After school you can cut it off, but during school time keep it running. That means I can come in and help you. It also means that your instructors can view what's on your computer screen at any time. Okay.
Okay.
So let's come continue while Farasha does this. Farasha, as soon as that's installed, let me know, and I'll work to fix your computer. Ali, I've answered your question. I hope you put it in your notes, okay? That first question. I've answered Farasha's question and gave you some more information about 33% versus 10 to 12%, okay? All right, now I see derivatives. I see commodities, futures, modernization and act. I see financial innovation, incentives, and what does the Federal Reserve do besides print money? Okay. Allie, in 5 years, three small back borrowed $120 billion. How can they take that much? Okay. Allie, I'll start with your questions and when Farasha is back. Ja, do you have any questions from last class?
Not in last class, but I do have a question from recent. How is it that these major corporations managed to lower their liability? The amount of tax that they have to pay.
Right, that's called a tax liability. So you had that right, so you can put that word in your vocabulary. That's the amount you're supposed to pay in taxes. You can reduce your tax liability by taking what's called credits and deductions. And deductions deduces or reduces your tax liability if you are eligible for certain. So laws are passed such that if corporations make money, what's called by capital gains, then that's not taxed or it's taxed at a lower rate. So when bonuses and things are given, they're given in ways that reduces the tax liability of the executive. So they get to keep more of the money. Credits. Let's say there is a credit. If the government wanted to give incentive for people to get solar panels, it might say, if you install solar panels, then you can subtract the amount of solar money you spent on solar panels from your tax liability. So if you made $100,000 and you owe $33,000, because that's 33%, and you spent $10,000 installing solar panels, then it may say you can deduct all of the costs or 50% of the cost. Let's assume right now it says the total cost of installation and purchasing, as long as you have the documentation of solar panels. Let's say that was $10,000. So now your tax liability is $23,000. Okay. Let's say you're allowed take deductions from certain medical expenses. Okay. What you're giving me is, if you've installed it, it'll give you an ID. It says your ID. That's what you're giving me. Type it in the text chat for Rasha. And then it'll have your password. Type that in the text chat. All right, Ja, do you understand? The two words, Ja, are deductions and credits.
So basically, if you pay for what they want you to pay for, then you get to keep your money.
Yes. Well, yes. You can see, all it is about directing where money is spent. This is part of what I want you to understand about how the economy works. There are laws that are passed that give you incentive to spend money here as opposed to someplace else. Okay. And those laws are skewed to favor the wealthy so that they get more wealthy. Okay. And so that's how you do that. And that's how you do it legally. Illegally, you can just lie. But they basically have it so that remember right now, deductions and credits. Deductions are what you can deduct from your taxable income Or sometimes you can deduct it from taxable income. That is, $100,000 is my taxable income. Then I can deduct certain things. So, let's say I had medical bills that were deductible, because certain medical bills are, certain are not. And let's say I have $30,000 in deductible medical bills. Then I reduce my taxable income. Now I'm being taxed on $70,000 as opposed to $100,000. Okay? So one is to reduce your you can reduce your tax liability by deductions and credits. Credits are, you're giving credit to when the government wants to incentivize certain things, money being spent in certain ways, then it offers credits and there are deductions. All right, so we can come back to that. But the general answer is by certain deductions and credits that are written into law. Okay. And I'll bring you some at the break. Actually, I'll see if I can pull up some so that you can get a sense of which ones and how racist and classist it is. Okay. All right. Farasha, I need your. Okay, there it is. You gave me the password. All right, Farasha, let me see, did I type this in correctly? I did not. That'll stop me from connecting if I don't do it right. 39. And thank you all for your patience. We won't be able to get very far with her. Guess we can get that talk now. Okay, I'm doing 4U4N9. Is that a Q or a G? Q.
That's a Q, and I'm sorry, the password actually started with the 2.
Well, that would help. Okay, 2U4N9Q. All right, there we go. Now I'm looking at your computer. Just hold tight. I got it from here.
Okay.
You can watch and learn, okay? Now, what I said is click options, and you did, and then I said go to capture, and there it is right there. Okay? And push to talk. You know our kiss sign. Okay, so Farasha, push your right control key, hold it, and talk.
Can you hear me?
Very good. I am now out of your computer. All right, Farasha, you still there?
Yes.
Very good. So as long as you don't have that button down, all kind of noise can be happening in your house, and we don't know it. Okay, well, only time we hear is when you have that talk now button down. Isn't that nice?
Very. Okay.
All right, let's roll it. Now, when you ask a question and I answer it, I expect for you to know what I said. So when I quiz you on your question and my answer, I expect for you to know what I said and understand it. If you don't, you ask me another question. And another question, or I say do some research on it. Okay? Are you with me? And I like teaching like this.
Yes.
I like teaching by answering your questions, and it means your questions are guiding the lesson. But and if you ask it, I expect for you to have it in your notes and for you to be able to answer it back. Okay. Y'all, your classmate Ty is on the phone here. Yes, Ty. Sure. Bye. All right. All right. So, Jal, you got credits and deductions and credits, right? We'll look at those more. All right. And now let's go back up. The first one is the Commodities Futures Modernization Act. Okay. This was designed to replace the Glass-Steagall Act. Right. Now, what is the Glass-Steagall Act generally? What's the Glass-Steagall Act? We talked about it last class. What was the Glass-Steagall Act? What was that about?
Was it the mortgage front, the brokers and JP Morgan Chase? Was it in that area, or was that something different?
That's too broad, honey. Yes, Joe.
I was gonna say it was when they made it illegal for banks and insurance companies, insurance agencies to work together, prior to the after the Great Depression.
Very good. Y'all remember when we looked at those pictures from the Great Depression?
Yes.
All right. That was to be so that you would come to understand that this had happened before, okay, in the late 1829, in the 30s, during the so-called Great Depression, and the legislation that was put in place to prevent that from happening again was called the Glass-Steagall Act. And, Ja, you're absolutely right. It restricted banks from insurance and investment. And it separated the financial interests and financial entities. I don't want y'all to ever have me ask you about the Glass-Steagall Act and y'all don't know how to go there. Okay? I want you to reflect. It's not enough just for you to pay attention in class. You have to spend some time reflecting on it, going over it. I'm trying to make it as interesting as I can. At the same time, I'm not one of those folks who decide that you got to be entertained constantly, and I got to make a rap song out of everything for you to get it. That's foolish, You can understand things in many different ways, and don't let nobody lock you in to that. All right, I'm going to give you a link. So write in your notes, Glass-Steagall. Now I'm going to give you the summary of it, but this right here is the actual bill that was put in place. Let me know when you have that link open.
Okay, it's open.
Okay. Thank you, Farasha. Al, is yours open?
It's loading. It's almost up.
Ja? Can you open it on your phone?
Yes.
Okay. So this was introduced by Elizabeth Warren, who actually makes a little bit of sense. Of these folks, she's more of an advocate for consumers and people, than most. And so you see at the top, this was a bill to reintroduce the Glass-Steagall Act. So let's, Farasha, read the first paragraph, please.
Okay. To reduce risks to the financial system of limiting banks' ability to engage in certain risky activities and limiting conflicts of interest, to reinstate certain Glass-Steagall Act protections that repelled by the Graham-Leach-Biley Act and for other purposes.
All right. So the Graham-Leach-Biley Act was the act that was put in place that canceled out the Glass-Steagall Act, okay, and in addition to, so this is a bill to say, no, we need to reinstate those again, all right,
User in your
go
channel,
down
timed
to
out.
Section 2, Findings and Purpose, it's line number 6, Allie, oh, Allie signed out, Ja, if you can read this, can you read Section 6, a line 6.
Aye.
You said where it says finding your purpose?
Yep. Yeah, read that, yeah, at least down to about line 20, 21.
User entered your channel.
Your channel.
I just realized I'm on my phone. I actually can't read.
You can't do it.
Okay, I got you. Allie, welcome back. Would you go to line 6, Allie? Line 7, and then continue reading on down to line 21.
Okay. The findings. Congress finds that in response to financial.
You're in the right place. I lost your sound. Allie, are you still there? Okay, Farasha, pick it up. Findings. Congress finds that.
Congress finds that in response to a financial crisis and the ensuing Great Depression, Congress enacted the Banking Act of 1933, known as the Glass-Steagall Act, to prohibit commercial banks from offering investment banking and insurance services. A series of deregulatory decisions by the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System and the Office of the Comptroller.
Very good.
Of the currency, in addition to decisions by federal courts, permitted by commercial banks to engage in an increasing number of risky financial activities that had previously been restricted from the Glass-Steagall Act, and also vastly expanded the meaning of business.
The business of banking.
Business of banking and closely related activities in banking law.
Okay, hold on. Hold on right there. Let me explain. Let's break this down. Okay. All right, you got the first paragraph that is from lines 1 to 5. In response to financial crisis and the ensuing Great Depression, all right, the Congress enacted in 1933 the Glass-Steagall Act. I expect y'all to know that. Okay, and what it did, it prohibited commercial banks from offering investment banking and insurance services. If you were a commercial bank, you could not be in investments, could not be in insurance. That's what we talked about before, right? Okay.
Yes.
So I expect for you to, if I say the Glass-Steagall Act, you at least need to be able to say this. The Glass-Steagall Act, 1933, it prohibited, stopped commercial banks from offering investment banking and insurance services. Got it. Okay, that's number one. Starting number 6, paragraph 2. This is what, based on a number of deregulatory, what is deregulatory? What's the root word in regulatory?
Regulate.
Very good. Regulate. So you regulate certain things so that you don't get abuses. For For example, is a stop light a regulator?
Yes.
It regulates traffic. What happens if there are no stoplights?
People will crash.
And if I got a big truck and you have a small car, am I going to be hurt or are you going to be hurt?
I'm going to be hurt.
That's right. So when there's no regulation, the biggest beat up on the smallest. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So regulations, you with me, Ja?
Yeah.
All right, good. So there were regulations in place. Now, I know you don't like regulations. As a teenager, you don't like regulations. You don't like your parents regulating what time you come in and got up. Okay. If you're going to create a society, if you're going to create a family, you're going to create a system, you're going to have regulations. Certain things got to happen, you know, in order for other things to happen, right? And so you have regulations, and particularly in a commercial market where people don't conceive of themselves as family, where the buyer is considered a pawn and a and
user
the,
joined your channel,
and the business is going to take advantage. So in that kind of environment, and that's generally a European mindset. So you got to have a lot of regulations, all right, to regulate the financial industry. That's what the Glass-Steagall Act did. All right. So the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, that was run by Ben Bernanke, and I forgot the guy and before him. Made some decisions to deregulate. What do you think deregulate means?
To take off regulations, so it just be free reign.
There you go. So it's a nice word for they wanted to remove the regulations. All right. So that was one of the entities, the Federal Reserve System, and then you have another entity, the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. So you got these offices who are controlling the currency in a company, in a nation, just like in a family. Somebody wants to control the flow of money and whatever. Mom, dad, or somebody got to, you know, make sure that we don't just spend all the money on pizza, okay, and can't pay the light bill, you know. And if I'm 5 or 8, I mean, all I know is, hey, this is great. Let's just go spend some money and get me some new toys and new whatever. And I don't know about that we got to pay Georgia Power or else the power's going to go off. So you got a comptroller of the currency, you have the Federal Reserve System, and you have the federal courts. Those are three agencies that, along with the legislation, that is the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, that's Congress. Okay, so I want you to write it down. You got Congress passing the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. You have Federal Reserve making decisions to deregulate. You have Comptroller of the Currency making regulation, removing regulations, and you have the federal courts. That's the kind of influence, moneyed influence, that the banks have, because that hadn't gone away. Okay? So based on those decisions of those entities, what are those entities again, Allie? Okay, Allie, I know you're on your phone. I can tell that, but I don't know. Okay. Job, what are those entities? I just mentioned them. What are the entities mentioned so far in this paragraph?
Congress, the Federal Reserve, and the ones that control the currency, the Office of the Comptroller of Currency.
That's number 3.
The Office of what? I didn't hear you.
Josh, she's asking. It's right there. It's right there. Number 8.
See, I see it.
I want y'all to be able to pull things out, you know, and put in your notes, you know, and be able to, you know, you can do little diagrams, or whether you type them on your whatever. All right. And if you're operating on your phone or whatever, you always need to have a notebook, because if something goes wrong and you can't pull up your, you know, program on your computer, you always can take notes. All right. So you got four entities so far. You got the Congress, and the act is the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. Right now, I don't care if you know how to spell it. I just want you to know how to say it, and then we'll get to the spelling right. Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, like graham crackers. Actually, it's after Phil Graham. Okay. All of these acts generally are in the name of congressmen. So Graham is a congressman. Leach is a congressman. Bliley, that's how it gets to be that. Okay. Glass-Steagall are also congressmen from in the 30s. All right. So the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, bam, knocked out the Glass-Steagall Act. Repealed it. Knocked it out like a boxing match. That's Congress. Number two, Federal Reserve System. Colluded. Number three, the Office of Comptroller of Currency colluded. And number four, the federal courts. And what they did is they removed the regulations that allowed the banks to engage in a number of risky, they say, I say fraudulent, financial activities that had previously been restricted. That is, what they did would have been against the law, because Glass-Steagall was the law. Y'all with this? So you see what people do, they're going to change the law, then they get the other entities to go along with it. So what they're doing is no longer against the law, because you changed the law. All right? So those would have been restricted under Glass-Steagall Act. Another thing they did was they vastly expanded the meaning of business of banking. Now, what was that? What does that mean? You remember when I said, that is, anybody could call themselves a bank, okay? And so you had all kind of lenders. You had people using the other folks' money, but they would say, this is this bank, and this is this bank. It wasn't a bank. It was somebody using the railroad workers of Alabama's money, okay? And so that's what they mean by expanded the meaning of the business of banking. Okay, and closely related activities in banking law. All right, so these people start saying they were banks, which is why we call them banksters, because you couldn't tell who was a bank, who wasn't a bank, but they all started using it, and they expanded the meaning of what it is to be a bank. Because if you're going to regulate something, you define it. This is what it is to be a bank. This is what it is to be an investment. This is what it is to be, just like, this is what it is to be a man. This is what it is to be a woman. This is how we regulate it. This is what it is to be a child. This is what it is to be a parent. All those things are defined. Now, when you expand the meaning of those, then you begin to get confusion. And in that environment, folks take advantage of it. Okay. One more paragraph. Farasha, please.
Okay.
Starting with line 16.
In 1999, Congress enacted the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, which repealed the Glass-Steagall Act separation between commercial and investment banking and allowed for complex cross-subsidies and interconnections between commercial and investment banks. Former Kansas City Federal Reserve President Thomas Honig observed that with the elimination of the Glass-Steagall, the largest institutions with the greatest ability to leverage their balance sheets. One second. Increase their risk profile by getting into trading, market making, and hedge fund activities, adding ever greater complexity to their balance sheets.
Okay, great. So so you got it, that with the elimination of Glass-Steagall, then they started doing all kinds of stuff. Trading, market making. Now notice, they got into trading. Now they weren't supposed to get into trading. They're into banking, not into trading. They're into market making, and then hedge fund activities. We're not going to define all that right now, okay? And ever greater complexity to their balance sheet. Okay. Basically, people like things complex so they can hide things. Okay? Banks, insurance companies, they like them complex so that they can say one part to you when actually there's something else. So they can hide something under something else. All right? So that's what you had going on. That's the Glass-Steagall Act. Everybody practice it, learn it, know it. It's simple. Okay? That first paragraph that was read, you know, it said what it is. It was replaced or knocked out by the Graham, Phil Graham, okay, a senator, I think he's from Alabama. But Graham-Leach-Bliley Act knocked it out, and therefore the banks were deregulated. That's all you got to know, okay? What do we mean deregulated? There was regulation that stopped commercial banking from being able to get into investments, be able to get into insurance, and it would have also prohibited a number of other activities, fraudulent activities that they got into. They call them complex. I call them fraudulent because I know that they are. All right. So that's now, what does the, how does that relate to your question of the commodities futures? All right. There was a woman in the video who was saying, wait a minute, this is not right. We got to question these derivatives. And that you're trading as stock, you know, and so a person with influence, he's at Harvard, God, I'm blocking his name, it'll come to me, got busy and passed an act that would stop them from questioning derivatives. Okay.
What are derivatives?
Okay. All right. What are derivatives? You heard you heard it mentioned many times in the movie. What are derivatives? Job, what's a derivative? Allie, what's a derivative?
I don't know.
What are derivatives? All right. So now, let's. See if we can find out. All right, I'm going to give you a basic stuff, and you can, when you're watching videos like that and something comes up, put it in your notes and your questions, and if you have a chance, look it up. Okay, now I'm going to, this is the first thing that came up when I put derivative, okay, or what are derivatives. Okay, so I'm going to see if I can get it to come in the text chat. It doesn't want to do